Welcome to You've Got This with Sarah Hammaker, a podcast to encourage and equip moms along their parenting journey. Join Sarah each week as she interviews dads and moms like you and discusses the joys, challenges, and rewards of raising kids.
Hi, and welcome to this week's You've Got This. I'm your host, Sarah Hammaker, and I'm glad you join me. Today, I have Rosalyn Sadaka. She is a divorce and parenting coach, recognized as the voice of child-centered divorce. She runs a network with resources for parents like that, and also wrote How Do I Tell the Kids About the Divorce? A Storybook Guide to Preparing Your Children with Love. So welcome to my show.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be with you.
Now, you know, no one really likes to talk about divorce. I mean, it's not like a pleasant subject.
That's for sure.
It's not, but it is part of our society. I mean, you know, I think we can all name people we know who are divorced in our own families, among our circle of friends. And I think it's important to kind of understand kind of the role that divorce has on kids and what we can do to kind of mitigate that. Before the show started, we were talking a little bit about conflict. So let's explore that a little bit more, because even, as we said, even in good marriages, there's conflict. I mean, conflict is something that we'll live with our whole lives. There's sibling conflict, there's, you know, parent-child conflict, there's conflict with, you know, adults, your neighbor, and sometimes with your spouse, and sometimes that can really have a detrimental impact on kids. Let's talk a little bit more about that.
Yes, it's a great topic. So conflict, when children are exposed to conflict, they have a tendency to blame themselves. Mm. So when they're hearing conflict between the parents, this is the area that is most important for this conversation, parental conflict, when they're exposed to parents yelling at each other or disrespecting each other, putting each other down, or giving each other the silent treatment, so that children are exposed to a family home environment that's tense and not warm, it affects them emotionally. They may not have the skills to say anything, and you may not be aware of it, but they are being impacted by it, and they don't know how to express it, but it hurts them. And many children, whether they're young or even teens, will have a tendency to blame themselves and think, maybe if I had better grades in school, or maybe if I didn't hit my brother yesterday, mom and dad wouldn't be fighting. And so when something as dramatic as divorce comes along, all of this is accelerated, and children are very, very tense. They're anxious, they're upset, they're insecure, they're frightened of the unknown. And when the conflict is added to the mix, it just makes life so much more difficult for children. So we want to suggest that parents keep any conflict to themselves, away from the eyes and ears of children. That means if they're sleeping in another room, you don't want them to hear it. If you're on the phone talking to your friend and venting, you don't want your kids to be hearing things about their other parent, because children love both parents, and they just don't know how to handle the fact that if you don't love mom or dad anymore, does that mean you don't love me anymore?
Right. And that can be such a, like you said, such a difficult thing for kids to understand, even teenagers to really kind of understand that, I would hazard a guess that, you know, most divorces have nothing to do with the kids themselves, right? It's not really something the child did or didn't do.
Well, right. And even if the parents are fighting about the kids, it's never the kids' fault.
Right.
It's the parents' fault. It's their relationship, their dynamic, and their issues. So even if the kids hear you fighting about little Johnny, it doesn't mean that it's the child's fault. But children will hear those things, and they don't understand how to unravel it, nor do parents very well. So imagine how confusing it is for children when they're exposed to that.
Yeah, and that brings up, I think, an interesting thought about children, is that their perceptions about reality are usually not real. And I say that in the way that I just think about to my own children and how they've said some things to me and I'm like, well, you know, that's not really how it is. And they're like, but to them, it's just they take a piece of information and they can create their own little saga about it, their own story about it. And it can often be wrong. Usually
exactly.
It's a pretty harmless wrong, right? You know, mm-hmm. but, you know, it's they're like, oh, well, that neighbor across the way, there's something wrong. What? Why? Well, I saw him limping going to his car. What does it mean he's a monster? You know, when your kids are little mm-hmm. and they're all kind of, you know, or whatever it could be, they we forget that they make up these kind of stories for themselves based on often faulty perceptions and missing information. So you can imagine how much more they do that when there's a conflict involved, right?
Exactly. You're right on target with that. And so it's very important to have a good relationship in communication with your children, especially when anything dramatic is happening in the family environment. And that's not easy because some parents are used to just having the mundane conversations about dinner and homework, and they're not really listening to their kids. But when something important is going on in the family environment, we need to be able to talk to our kids and hear what they're feeling, because they can't express exactly what's going on with them. But let them vent, let them talk, let them share what's going on, so we get a glimpse into what's happening. So we could say as a mother or father, hey, that's not really so, or remind them that mom and dad will always be your mom and dad, even if we're getting a divorce or even if we're separating, and that mom and dad will always love you, and that's never going to change. Kids need to hear certain things repeated again and again and again during challenging times in their lives.
Right, and it's always important to tell them that you love them.
Yes.
We should show them that we love them, but I tell my kids that almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I figure half the time, they don't really hear it.
That's right.
Right? I mean, mm-hmm. just think about how many times. And I try to tell my spouse that as well, because I want him to feel, to know that I love him.
Yes.
Too. But I think that especially for our kids, I don't think we can ever tell them that too much. And I think sometimes when I'm coaching some parenting clients and – you know, they're telling me about all the problems they have with this kid and yada, yada, yada. And I just say, well, when was the last time you told him you loved him?
Yes.
When was the last time you did something with them that showed that you knew who they were and that you appreciated them for that? And there's often this long pause and they're like, it's been a while. So that's your top priority. You need to restore that relationship so that you can help mend. Then you can address the misbehavior.
I totally agree with what you're saying. It's very important. Sometimes as parents, we just assume, of course they know I love them. And of course they know we're not fighting about them, but they don't. And as confusing as something like divorce or a breakup is for parents, it's that much more confusing for children. And what we want to do and what we owe them as parents is to minimize the tension for them and let them know that much is going to still be the same in their life, and reduce this, their being surrounded by pain and conflict and anger and emotions that they can't do anything about because they're helpless.
Right. Right. And I think we forget too how witnessing an argument or that tension and conflict in the house, you know, between mom and dad, can just really, you know, confuse a child, because they don't know what to do with emotions like that. And then that doesn't make them feel good. So then they have all these yucky emotions roiling around inside them. So let's switch gears just a little bit. And can you give any tips on, you know, I mean, our kids are going to see us fighting, whether it's healthy or not, you know, so are there any, is, you know, we can do the best we can not to do it in front of them, but it's going to happen because we're all human, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do you have any advice on, you know, how to, you know, help our kids understand that just because we have an argument every once in a while doesn't mean we're getting divorced, and on that kind of the opposite side of that?
Mm-hmm. Certainly. So it's very important for you to talk to the kids, especially after they hear something that may be uncomfortable for them, and just say, Mom and Dad have disagreements about some things. We're sorry you had to hear that, but it's okay because people disagree. You know, you had a fight with your brother yesterday. Mm-hmm. So it talking about these things and then asking some questions, how did that make you feel? And then when your child shares whatever they're feeling, just acknowledge them. All human beings want to feel acknowledged and heard. Mm-hmm. And that's the first thing we forget in communication between people. If you can do nothing else, acknowledging that they have a right to feel what they're feeling and letting them know you heard and you think you understand what they're saying will go a long way to diffusing tension and calming the situation. Very often fights accelerate because we put one another on the defensive and we use you language. We point our finger and we say, you always do this. You said that. And if we change our language to I language, talking about how it feels coming from me, I feel very uncomfortable when I hear you talk to me that way. I feel hurt when you said that. I felt very sad when you brought that up again for the third time. Then you're talking about your feelings rather than pointing the finger and blaming your partner. That alone can help you get to a state of conversation and talking about the issue rather than putting each other on the defensive and just fighting for who's more right.
Right. Yeah. And those are great points. And it also can help us as we help our children learn how to resolve conflict, because you know, that's a skill that they need to learn too. So kind of doing that modeling for them when we have conflict and, you know, talking about it afterwards. My husband and I, you know, if we have a fight in front of our kids, which doesn't happen often, which is nice. Yes. But when we do, you know, if it's public, then we apologize publicly. Or if we mm-hmm. apologize, we'll say in front of the kids, you know, I shouldn't have yelled at your father that way. I did tell him he was, you know, that I was sorry, you know, just to let them know that we have resolved it. We can't just let them guess that, because I think that really can help diffuse some of that tension and anxiety that we may not be real aware that we're creating.
You made such an important point there. Being able to apologize to our children gives them permission to understand that we're all human. We all make mistakes and have regrets, and allows them to learn to, they could apologize as well. So that's a huge, huge parenting step that's very important. And you brought up another one that I want to emphasize, and that's being good role models for your kids, because our children are watching us, whether they say something or not, mm-hmm. they're watching and they're learning from what we do a lot more than just what we say. So we have to keep in mind when we're making decisions that our kids are watching us. How could we expect them to behave in a civilized, respectful way with their siblings, with their friends, and with others in the neighborhood when they're looking at their parents who are not behaving in that way? So we really have to be very mindful about being role models. And if we make a mistake, step up and say, I realize that I shouldn't have done that or said that, and I apologize to you or to Daddy or whoever it is. And the kids are learning it's okay to do that. It's a wonderful life lesson that they'll never forget.
And I think it also shows them that, you know, people in authority can apologize and still be leaders in their home, right? I mean, it doesn't mm-hmm. – sometimes I think it gets – sometimes people – and kids may pick up on this, see an apology as like a weakness, but it's really, I always emphasize it as a strength, right? To be able to say, to admit that you're wrong. And in our household, we have a rule that we can't just say we're sorry. We have to be specific. So you can't just mm-hmm. say, I'm sorry. You have to say, yeah. I'm sorry I called you that name, or I'm sorry I yelled at you. I shouldn't have done that. And then to not add excuses, because we always want to say, but, mm-hmm. but no. So we really worked on that, especially with my kids, with one another. I have four children. So, you know, there were fights when they're younger.
Yes, yes.
And it's kind of lesson now. But what we really worked on when they were younger was that admitting why they were apologizing. because that just, it is humbling. It's humbling to say you're sorry. And it's also humbling to say, I'm sorry for yelling at you, or I'm sorry for X. But it yes. makes such a difference in helping those hurts to be healed, as opposed to letting them maybe be half healed because you really didn't believe the apology, right?
Exactly. Well, your children are very, very fortunate to have parents like you, because I highly acclaim the fact of what you're teaching them. It's so very important. It makes a difference, and it makes them more resilient when challenges do occur in the family, a sickness or a loss or anything else. Children who are being taught that are much more able to express themselves and cope with the challenges much more readily. So it's very, very important. I can't emphasize enough being able to apologize, the value of that.
Hi, and you also brought up a good point that the resiliency of children, you know, we know children are resilient, but when we're looking at something like divorce, I mean, I bet it would take a while for kids to kind of recover from that. And sometimes I feel like, you know, once things are final and mom has a new place or dad has a new place, that we're all just like, okay, everything should be fine. And it often is not. So do you have any advice or ways to kind of help parents who maybe are have gone through a divorce and are still, their kids are still quite not recovered from it?
Well, yes. And that's the most important facet of it all, because the divorce ends in when the legal issue is resolved. But the post-divorce, the co-parenting, goes on for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And that's where I do most of my coaching, is after the divorce in co-parenting. And yes, we as parents have the responsibility to make life as easy for these children, because they're innocent. They didn't ask for this situation.
Right.
And many children do better after the divorce when they're out of a high conflict situation. Some kids have very difficult times because the parents continue the conflict. Mm-hmm. If parents are bad-mouthing one another, if parents are using their children as messengers, tell daddy I don't want to do this, tell mommy to pick you up at 4 instead of 5, that's not the job for the child. Mm. And some parents, even worse, try to alienate their child from the other parent and talk to them and say things that are disrespectful, so that the child won't like that other parent. And that's divorce in the most terrible form, called parental alienation.
Yeah.
And also when parents are innocently or not so innocently asking their children to spy on the other parent. So what did daddy's girlfriend say to you when you did this and that? And of course you want to share things with your parents, but children start getting very defensive and cautious because they know the agenda that some parents have, and they don't feel comfortable. It's a lose-lose for the child. They don't know. They want to protect both parents, and they're mm-hmm. caught in the mirror. We as parents don't want to put them in that position. We never want to make our children feel the stress of trying, of making lies to defend one parent over the other, or to support one parent over the other, or to have to be doing things that is uncomfortable for them. So conscious, wise parents avoid that, and their children can have a better situation after the divorce if both parents are working together, focused on the children, which is why I created the Child-Centered Divorce Network, because to me, there's nothing more important than protecting your children before, during, and long after that divorce.
Yeah, and I think that is something that we often forget, even, you know, in a healthy marriage, is, you know, to have a care for how we're interacting with the child as a couple, as single. You know, you never want to feel like the child is, that we're not on the same page for most things, that mm-hmm. there's that discord there. So even in a, you know, in a, when you're co-parenting in the same house, you really still, I think, need to keep some of those things at top of mind, so that you are helping them to see what a healthy, you know, role model should be, and how, you know, how parents should interact with their children.
Exactly. And it's key to for children to see respectful interaction between parents. Respect is one of the primary qualities in a healthy relationship. So the more that your children see parents respecting one another and respecting their siblings, then the better the life is for those children.
Right. Well, and that's a great way to end our show. Unfortunately, we're out of time already. Always sneaks up on me. So thank you so much for joining me today.
It's been a pleasure.
Now, you've been listening to You've Got This. I'm your host, Sarah Hammaker, and I've been talking to Rosalyn Sadaka. She is a divorce and parenting coach. She's recognized as the voice of child-centered divorce, and you can find some links to her work in the bio connected with this podcast. And I hope that if you're a divorced parent, that you'll take a listen and look at her resources, because I think it'll be very helpful to help keep your children safe and healthy even after divorce. So I hope you'll join me next week.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast of You've Got This with Sarah Hammaker. Sign up to receive notification of new podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammaker.com. Until next time, remember, parenting might be hard sometimes, but don't worry, you've got this.